This is Paul Peluso from Officer.com, and I'm here with Andy Teach, president of FLIR's Commercial Systems Division. Thank you for joining us today, Andy.
It's my pleasure.
During the manhunt for Boston Marathon bombing suspect Zahar Tsarnaev, the FLIR Star Sapphire 3 was used by a Massachusetts State Police helicopter to track his location as he hid inside a covered boat behind the residence on the night of April 19th. Andy, where were you when you heard that the suspect was captured? And did you know that it was your company's camera on the State Police helicopter when it occurred?
Well, actually, Paul, I was just on my way back from Germany that week. I was transiting through Chicago's O'Hare Airport and saw the news item on the news there. And, yeah, I did know that it was our system because the Mass State Police has been a very good customer of ours. They actually have four of our systems. So the minute that I heard that it was Mass State Police, I knew that it was our camera.
And what was your reaction and when you got back home and was able to get back to work, what was the reaction of everybody with FLIR?
Well, we were all thrilled. We build these cameras to aid law enforcement, and we love to see when these systems are put to use in a manner that not only protects the officers but significantly improves the situational awareness. When I get back to Wilsonville, our headquarters, where this particular system is made in Wilsonville, Oregon, all the employees were cheering right along with the people there in Watertown. It just makes us feel really proud to be a part of this, and it's exactly what we build these systems for.
Okay, and how long Massachusetts State Police have used your AI systems?
They've been using our systems for several years, varying generations of the systems. The Star 3s that they used in this particular case were purchased in 2005. They also have one of our Star HDs that was purchased in 2009, and then they've upgraded all of the systems, I think, in 2012 with a feature called GeoPoint that allows you to basically lock on a spot on the ground so as the helicopter rotates around the target, the user doesn't have to keep the system pointed on the target. It does it automatically through a geolock feature.
Okay, and did it look like that feature was utilized in this this instance?
Yes, it was.
Okay, great. And so I guess just generally, what kind of advances have there, like you said, you just released that feature last year, what kind of advances have there been within the last several years, and do you think that these devices are being used a lot more by law enforcement than, say, they were years ago?
Sure. Well, there's really three things here that played a role, I think, in this in terms of aiding law enforcement here. The first is the fact that this imager, this thermal imager, is a mid-wave thermal imager. It means that it looks in a certain area of the infrared spectrum in the 3 to 5 micron range. And why that was significant in this case is that in that particular spectrum, many plastics become transparent. So in this case, the boat had a shrink wrap cover on it, a white shrink wrap cover that is opaque, meaning you can't see through it visibly. And it was very interesting and useful in this case that once they knew that the suspect was likely in this boat, that they could fly in and have a look down and actually see right through that cover and see where he was in the boat, what position he was lying in, whether or not he was moving or holding something. And if you look at the videos that have been posted by the Mass State Police on this, you can see that going on in the scene. The other two things that I think are useful here is this GeoPoint feature, because they were circling over this target so that they could keep the unit locked on the boat at all times. And the third feature that was used, and again, going on the video that I saw that was posted based on this, is a feature called searchlight slave. So the helicopter, of course, has a searchlight on it, and we have a feature that allows you to keep the searchlight pointed on the same geographic area or spot on the ground as the thermal imager is pointed at. So there were times when the spotlight was being used and was able to be automatically pointed at the target by slating it to the gimbal.
Okay. Do you know of, oftentimes you see thermal imaging technology used for search and rescues, but as far as finding suspects, you know, in this instance, is this something that's done often?
It is. I think that, very frequently thermal imaging is used really for three things. It's used for general situational awareness, for, finding suspects that are fleeing from law enforcement or hiding, and also for search and rescue of lost persons, you know, whether it be children or Alzheimer's patients or things like that. Those are the most common applications. I think the one thing that was unique about this particular situation was this nuance that we were able to see through the plastic. And frankly, I've been doing this for 29 years, and this is the first time that I've seen an application where that has really played a powerful role here, that they were able to see him through that plastic, which they wouldn't have been able to do with any other technology.
Okay. And as far as you guys, how many agencies throughout the U.S. do you guys supply these type of devices to right now?
I don't have an exact count, Paul. Most major law enforcement organizations and many rural law enforcement organizations have some type of thermal capability, whether it be an airborne unit on a rotary wing aircraft or fixed wing aircraft or handheld units. It's become quite prevalent today. You know, this particular system that Mass State Police has is a higher end system. This is a system that sells for several hundred thousand dollars, and they've got fairly high end equipment mounted on the twin turbine helicopters. So they're sort of the upper end of capability, but it is quite prevalent.
Okay, and when you guys say sold this unit to Massachusetts State Police, what kind of training is involved? And are these systems pretty easy to use, or is it something that the pilots had to have the knowledge and training to be able to use it to the extent that they did?
Well, typically, most law enforcement organizations, the airborne unit of their law enforcement organizations, have an individual called a TFO, a technical flight officer, and that person has been specifically trained in the use of a FLIR. And is normally operating the FLIR. I can't speak to Mass State Police specific protocol, but I suspect that that's what they're doing as well. Okay. And, you know, that allows one person to be proficient in the use of the camera and not have to worry about the operation of the aircraft. There is training for TFOs supplied both by FLIR and the Airborne Law Enforcement Association. And, while the systems are fairly intuitive to use, it does require some skill, and, it is a piece of high-tech equipment. So most TFOs out there do have some form of formal training.
Okay, and last question I'll ask you. So this was, an airborne use of the technology. As far as the handhelds and cameras are mounted on cruisers as well, how is that technology used differently than the airborne uses, and what are some of the main uses that you've seen used? Is that becoming more prevalent, I guess?
Certainly the use of handheld systems and vehicle-mounted systems is much more prevalent and has become much more prevalent in the last few years.
Okay.
We started a line of handheld products for law enforcement at FLIR 3 years ago, and we've been continuing to augment that line over the course of the last couple of years, and they've done really well. So we have a product called the LF series, which is a very small monocular handheld thermal product that is doing very well in the market right now and receiving very good response. Typically, those handheld systems are used in a slightly different role, of course, because they're not as long range that the airborne units are, but they're used by ground officers to either find lost people or find people that are hiding in bushes or, hiding in some kind of obscure area. The products also see through smoke and fog, so they can be used in a burning building situation, or they can be used at times when there are obscurants in the atmosphere that render conventional imaging equipment inoperative. And then, of course, these products see in total darkness. So, you know, when you've got a situation where they're doing some type of search, or they're looking for somebody that's fleeing from law enforcement at night, it's a great technology to use because it's completely passive and it cannot be detected. So unlike, you know, using a flashlight or some type of a laser-illuminated product, these are completely passive. And you know, when a suspect is being viewed with a thermal imaging camera, they can't detect that they're being viewed because of the fact that it's a passive technology.
Great. Well, I thank you for joining us today, Andy. And it was great to be able to see that your guys' product was able to find the suspect and also keep officers out of danger.
Well, it was my pleasure. And again, we everyone here at FLIR, we're thrilled to have played a productive role in this and be a part of hopefully bringing this terrible situation to a conclusion.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.